From the terraces on Cambridge 105 Radio, with the Cambridgeshire Football Association, promoting football at all levels across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
Thanks very much to the Polish Waves show for the previous hour. Sorry, my headphones aren't working, strangely enough, so I'm going to have to try... Oh, there you go. There we go, just sitting on the lead. Welcome to From the Terraces for this week. We've got Matt in the studio, we've got Mark in the studio, we've got Steve on the phone, and hopefully we've got Robbie Nightingale and Lance Key on the phone as well. So if you want to get in touch with us, you can, all the usual ways to do that. You can text us on 07919 070 490. That's 07919 070 490. Or you can email studio@cambridge105.co.uk. It'd be good to hear from you if you were one of the 185 that travelled up yesterday, because I was away for the weekend and Matt was busy. So none of us have seen the Cambridge game. We've seen the game highlights on TV, but that's all we've got. Histon lost, apparently not a good game. We'll talk to Mark and then we'll talk to Lance after that. But Cambridge City put three in a row now, I think that is. They've won, starting to pick up at the end of the season. So we'll be talking to Steve and Robbie about that. And we'll also be talking about the women's football, what was on towards the end of the show as well. So if you want to get in touch with us, do that now. You can do 07919 070490, or you can do studio@cambridge105.co.uk. And we'll start, as we always do, with Cambridge United. So, yeah, two long trips in the space of a week, with Carlisle this week and then Morecambe on Easter Monday, isn't it? That's probably... Because I think Carlisle's just over 500-mile round trip and Morecambe's just under 500-mile round trip, so 1,000 in total. Your frequent flyer miles are going up if you went to both of those. So... I heard, unfortunately, the internet connection wasn't even very good, so I certainly couldn't watch it. I had to listen to it. And it sounded like kind of a typical Cambridge United, good in parts, but didn't actually put any chances in. And not dissimilar to what we've seen before. I mean, you said, Mark, I mean, it's good to go away like that far and get a result, even if it's only a draw. But... Dunn's record now, so we've got seven or eight games, admittedly he's played the top five, I think, hasn't he? Five or six. So all of the games are against top quality opponents, and only two losses. And we said earlier on we'll give him the Accrington one, because that really wasn't a loss, that was just a terrible referee decision. And I guess, I mean, people are starting to ask the questions, obviously, now, and come to the conclusions about whether Dunn's the right man for the job. I'm still out on that. I think we've still got about seven games left for him to impress. He's definitely getting more out of the players than Derry did, but you could argue that certainly the results haven't been fantastic, although they are against the top club, so you could give him that, you know, having only lost two or one, You could give him that it's not a bad performance, really.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think he did, you know, the first stage of what he had to do when he came in as interim manager, and that was make sure that we weren't in any danger of going down. So, you know, that was, you know, stage one of his remit completed, and to be perfectly honest to him, you know, he did it quite early on, you know, to be fair. You know, he got the job done quite early and picked up some good wins early on and cemented our league position for the next season. And, you know, we spoke about it just, you know, off the show before we came on, and we said, you know, the difference between, you know, us under Sean Derry and us under Joe Dunn is that the sort of 5-6 games that we've played recently against, you know, the big sides like, you know, the Luton and Wickhams, and okay, yes, we lost to Swindon and we were comprehensively outplayed there. And as you said, Tim, you know, we were very, very unlucky against Accrington. But those are the games that, you know, when we went one down, we'd have collapsed and we'd have conceded 2-3, and then, you know, we'd have been on the end of a hiding. And so that there is something there that has changed. As you say, you know, he has got more out of the players now, and there is a lot more of a fighting quality about them. And you know how hard that they're trying to play for, you know, for him and for the club now. You know, there is a little bit more spirit about playing for the shirt. And you know, listening to yesterday's game, yes, it was another case of where we were under pressure for a lot of the game. You know, if it hadn't been for David Ford, who, you know, we all said sort of last week perhaps it was time for him to come out of the side and give Mitov a go. Well, thank God Joe didn't listen to us this week, because he kept us in the game with some fantastic saves.
And there was one in particular, and it kind of was, it wasn't quite the same at all, but low to the bottom right hand corner, mm-hmm. like Gordon Banks save mm-hmm. many years ago. But that was definitely a world class save, and there were others as well that he pulled off. Mm. As you say, kept us in the game, and that's been kind of a story. I mean, apart from a couple of games where he's had a bit of an oddity, you know, he has kept. He's been worth, you know, a goal a game, I would guess, mm. on average, and that's been good. It's certainly done the cause no harm. It'd be interesting. I mean, presumably he'll stay around for another year, I would hope.
I'd like him to. I don't see the harm in having him around for another year. I think, in fact, to be perfectly honest, if the club were sensible, is offering him a player coaching role for next season. If that's what he wants, he might want to carry on playing, and you know, there might be somebody sort of lower down that will take him on and everything. So we don't know. Obviously, you know, it's all sort of, you know, hearsay and rumour, but, you know, I'd like us to keep him on. I really would. I think he, you know, he's worth his weight in gold for what he's done this year at times, you know, keeping us in games. And I think for all the experience that he's got, I think it'd be silly of us to waste, you know, what he can offer this football club. And yeah. As long as, he wants to stay, of course.
Yeah, because I think the difficulty is that Mitov, obviously, having not really played apart mm. from a couple of Checker Trade games, mm. he's obviously not going to, you know, it'd be difficult to see him step up to regular first team actions just at the moment. So if Fordy went, we're going to have to look for a number one keeper, I would have thought, which then, you know, if he stays, we're paying him and it's no extra money, but if he goes, we're spending the playing budget on a position that we shouldn't have to fill, really.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. I mean, obviously, we don't know how good, bad or indifferent Mitov is, because, as I say, he's not played yeah. sort of 4 or 5 games solidly. And as we know, with goalkeepers, when you play, you know, a run of sort of 10, 11 games, you're a lot easier to judge. So, you know, we've proved it good or bad throughout the season. And he's another one that, you know, potentially the last couple of games maybe just does need to come into the team and, you know, just give him a crack of the whip and see how well he does. Because, as I say, you know, coming into those last few games, potentially we haven't really got much to play for now, apart from maybe, you know, a couple of places further up the league, you know, maybe the value 12th position, as I, you know, as yeah, I've
you've
predicted.
You've got to get there, really.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, just for anything. So, yeah, you know, we don't know, but he certainly saved us yesterday, David Ford, and we're glad to have him there. And, you know, we went a goal down, and, you know, it's a case in point again that against sort of good sides, and Carlisle have had a run recently where, you know, they're trying to push for the playoffs, trying to make a late bid. You know, we go one down early after the second half, but we fight back, we get ourselves back into the game, and then, you know, we've had to hold out, you know, like it was okay. So the Alamo, so, you know, according to the radio, where crosses were raining in and it was backs to the wall and everything, and we just couldn't get out. And yeah, as I say, you know, if that had been under Sean Derry, I think everybody agrees we'd have conceded and we'd have crumbled, but we didn't. It's as Mark said before the show, yeah, it is a good point in our sense. And we've got two games coming up now where against Crawley, who conceded five somehow against Cheltenham yesterday. That was completely beyond me because I didn't think Cheltenham could score five goals in a game. And then Morecambe, who are perennial strugglers, and you know, we've got to go there. And there's a potential for 6 points available to get us up the table.
It's going to be interesting to see. As I say, I think I reserve judgment on Dunn until the end of the season. And I think that, you know, the much as I hate to agree with the club, you know, it looks like they might be right now in terms of not announcing that he's definitely going to get the job and not announcing that there's definitely someone else coming in, but waiting around to see. I still think, if we have a good last few games and pick off a fair number of the points that are available and move up to 12th or a little bit higher, then in a way it's going to be difficult to turn him down, because he will have done everything that we, you know, that we wanted him to do. And again, I go back to the point I made several times, is that okay, there'll be some swapping around over the summer of managers, but if you look at, you know, if you look at who's free at the moment, you know, Russell Slade, I think, is the only manager free for. Yeah, I thought that as well. That would be a bad move. But, you know, there isn't anyone else at the moment. Now, admittedly, there probably will be over the summer. But, you know, I can't say there's no one you'd look at and go, oh, yeah, that's the person we want. So if we want someone, you know, that's definitely going to be better, we're going to probably have to take them away from their current club, which is, you know, it's going to cost us. And as I said, you know, if we've only got a limited amount of money, there's no windfall in the playing budget. Do you want to spend it on a coach that may not do any better than, you know, that we've currently got? Plus, Joe's a really nice bloke as well, and he's really easy to talk to at the press conference. He's a real footballing man. But we'll see. We'll see. Maris is becoming quite important to the club as well. I mean, I know, you know, you've not been a massive fan, but he's knocking them in. Not perhaps as regularly as we'd want, but it's adding to the tally.
Well, he's scored a couple of goals recently, nothing particularly spectacular.
Yeah, but that in a whole lot of one or draw.
Well,
that's quite
it is quite important. I'm not a big, maybe it's the diamond formation that's holding him back more than anything, and you know, there's a lot of you know, there's a lot to be said about this diamond formation that we play. I think everybody agrees it doesn't work. It really didn't work last week, and you know, listen to Keith, who, you know, my friend who went up there yesterday, and he said yet again, you know, the diamond formation doesn't work. And the thing is, there's players there in the playing squad that can, yes, they can adapt to different formations, as we've seen. But, you know, there does seem to be some sort of, I don't know, like, what is it? Fascination with this diamond, that, you know, it's the formation to play, and that's the way we have to play. But, you know, at times, and especially, you know, Carlisle's pitch is very, very big, and we don't put anybody out wide to sort of fill the spaces and create, you know, fill areas that can cause teams trouble. And it's just not against Carlisle. You know, we probably needed a switch last week against Swindon, and we didn't do it in time. And you know, that's what I mean. Sometimes we need a bit of flexibility to sort of realise that it's not working. Maybe we need to go to a 4-4-2 or a 4-2-3-1 if we're talking sort of football manager style tactics and this, that and the other. But just try something different for a little bit, just so that, you know, do something different to see what we can do. And, you know, as I say, it does, we do seem to stick rigidly with this diamond formation. I don't think the players are particularly sort of comfortable. Okay, it might, you know, somebody like Giovanni Brown at the top of the diamonds is, you know, is suited to him, but he's been in and out of games recently.
Yeah.
So maybe we just need to switch that around and perhaps just push Maris further forward, you know, and then just drop, I mean, you know, like Liam O'Neill, you know, okay, people say he's improved, but he's not particularly improved group too much in my thoughts recently, and you know, he doesn't look comfortable in it either, but he doesn't look comfortable playing next to Deegan, that's for sure. And Deegan, for all his faults, just doesn't seem to break up play as much at the base of the diamond as we want. So you know there's a potential, as I say, we've got nothing to lose looking at the, you know, the league table. You know, we can, 10th place is still in our, you know, in our chase. We can still get to 10th place. It's not out of the, you know, out of our reach. So, but we've got to start picking up a few results against some of the lesser lights. I mean, you know, Crawley were sort of 12, 13 games unbeaten, and then they've lost the sort of three out of the last five. So, you know, it's a big chance for us on Friday. And then, as I say, Morecambe are somewhere down near the bottom. And, yeah, 19th as we're looking at the table. But, they've had a few decent results.
They've only lost one out of six.
Yeah, so they've turned out. Well, they always normally do when it gets to crunch time. They normally turn it on. So, but it's still a winnable game for us. And, you know, 6 points gives us 57. And we're right in the sort of upper mid-table mix again. And, you know, looking to consolidate our position there, hopefully. So,
yeah, I mean, it is, as you say, I mean, Crawley are just, 2 points above us, but have lost the last two games. And Morecambe are, 10 points away from us, further down. But they've only lost one in the last six. So, and again, it's another long travel, so it's not going to be an easy game. Hopefully the weather will be okay, and we can make a day of it. I mean, they talked at the press conference on Thursday of, you know, how to play out the end of the season, because I think, you know, we've all accepted that, you know, and barring an absolute miracle and everybody crumbling, the playoffs are now, I mean, they're probably not far from mathematically out of our reach, never mind anything else, 12 points away now. So it would take us to win everything and everyone else to lose everything above us, which is unlikely. So, you know, you've got the stage, there's no way we're going, you know, we're safe from relegation. So what do you bring in players? I mean, there are a number of players who we've seen on the fringes, who've been on the bench, Matt Foy, Knowles, and others, and, you know, do you bring them back to get some first team experience ready for next year if they're going to be called back next year? Do you bring back some other players who you could bring back, because Osadibi's back but he can't play, ruled out, and that's probably true of anybody else we've loaned out, isn't it, now? So you can't bring them back. But, you know, there are some youth players. Mitov, it would be good to see Mitov getting some games in before the end of the season to give him some league action, so we can better look at, you know, what we think there. But at the same time, you know, the players want to play in a settled team, because some of them are no doubt looking at one eye on the transfer window to see how that's going to go for them. And Dunn, you know, is, I think, you know, he'd be stupid if he doesn't want the job. Well, not stupid, that's not fair. It would be odd if he didn't want the job, and I think he does. So he's got something to prove as well, because at the moment it's kind of, We've been through that. Everyone thought he might be a really good one, then he lost against Swindon, and everyone thinks it's a really bad idea. And you know, not that that was the turning point for him, but I think he's got to get some good results. So he probably doesn't want to mess around too much, and you know, damage his chances of taking the job permanently.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough one really for Joe. But one thing I think we'd all like to see him do is do something a little bit different than what Sean Derry did. And you know, the diamond formation is definitely a Sean Derry sort of rollover. And you know, some of the performances at times, you know, last week, you could absolutely, against Swindon, was a Derry-esque performance. At times yesterday, by the sounds of it, it sounded very Derry-esque in terms of being pinned back and not getting out and not finding the, you know, the way to sort of wrestle control back of the game in the last 10 minutes. And you know, at the end of the day, it's an audition for Joe Dunn. You know, if he wants a job, he needs to sort of show something a little bit different, not be the same old, but show something different that makes him the person that's, you know, it's impossible to not appoint, rather than they look at somebody else and say, well, he's got a few ideas here and there, why don't we give him a go? As I say, we don't know, and I think we need to we do need to be sorted out at least by sort of the middle of April, you know, one way or the other, you know, just make an announcement on what's going on. If there's a new guy coming in, then give him the last couple of games and a couple of weeks to train with the squad, to get to know and to get to learn them, and then he can make his decision on people that he would like to keep for next year and release or...
Is it, in a way, it's difficult for Dunn because, of course, he inherited the team that Derry's got. He's got no choice but to play with that team for the rest of the season. So, you know, whatever he wants to do, and he said this right at the start, is he said, you know, he's going to be very pragmatic about it. It's, you know, without a change of playing staff, you're not necessarily going to be able to change everything around as you might want to, because you don't necessarily have the players that you want to play in positions available. And okay, he got a number of players back from injury, so he's now effectively got almost a full squad once we finally get Mingoya and Kaur back, which I think is, I don't think either of them played yesterday, but they're training properly again on grass, so they'll almost certainly make an appearance before the end of the season. But they're still the Derry squad, and in a way it's kind of a bit unlucky that the club chose to keep Derry on through the transfer window as opposed to hand it to someone to Dunn or to someone else and then see what we could have done with new players. But that was the way they went. I suspect there wasn't money around to do anything else other than that anyway, so it was a bit of a moot point. But it's difficult because I'd quite like to see him give it a chance, but then I'm not sure, you know, if it doesn't work, I'd be saying, well, we should never have done that. We should have got a more experienced manager. But yeah, difficult.
Yeah, it is. And I think everybody will truly admit, you know, we probably want that Jess Sean had a good Christmas with all the changes that came in, and you know, he won a few games, but they weren't against teams that were particularly great. You know, if you look at the teams we played, most of them were actually below us, and that makes a change. So you know, but that was kind of the time that we probably was the, you know, should have got rid of him. That was a perfect time to get rid of him, to allow somebody, even if it was Joe Dunn, but just somebody to come in to assess that squad and go, okay, this is what we need to, you know, this is what we need to change, or this is what I need to make this squad a bit better. Go out there and with whatever we've got and go and find me those right players. And as I say, unfortunately, it didn't happen. We gave Sean until, you know, probably a little bit too long, and the season kind of died in the middle of January. Yeah. And you know, now we're stuck here. As I say, we're talking about trying to finish in the top 10 rather than the top 7, which potentially we could have done had we had somebody in who could have fired these players up a bit earlier and got them playing.
Yeah.
Because there's no doubt that, as I say, you know, there is some passion and there is some fight in this team. We've seen it over recent weeks. You know, they are fighting for each other and fighting for the club now, and you know, just a little bit more quality at times, and you don't know where we could have been. And as I say, it's frustrating that we are talking about a mid-table battle again, but it's something that needs to be looked at the summer, because all the rhetoric coming out of the club is, yes, we're a League One club, but are we really a League One club? Because we haven't got a team ready to go and play League One football and just about survive in League One if we were ever to get up there. And that's the difference. You know, you look at the top eight, potentially the top nine in this league, and you could say most of them, Accrington you don't know about, but the rest of them probably could survive quite comfortably in League One if they made sort of zero signings. And you know, for us, we'd have to go round and sign another sort of 6-7 players on probably bigger wages than what they're on now, just to you know, make a fight of it, I imagine. So, you know, we've got to look at ourselves and we've got to get things sorted quickly, because players will be signed up by, as soon as the season's finished, they'll be, you know, players will be talking to other clubs straight away and, you know, trying to even negotiate better deals for themselves or better deals at other clubs. Yeah. You know, it's not just for what we want to retain, but that's for players that we want to sign as well.
Yeah. Well, let's listen to what Joe had to say following the Carlisle game.
Well, Joe, hard fought point, but a very good point.
Yeah, the point is good, coming to a very difficult place, which obviously takes up a hell of a lot of your time to get here. So overall, you know, taking a point away from today's game is a good point. A hard-fought point, a difficult point, but one we'll take.
And against a side who were really going for it because they had to go for it.
Yeah, I thought we saw that mainly, realistically, in the last probably 15 minutes of the second half, where they really went for it. A team going for the playoffs, another one we've played that's gone for the playoffs. A team that had to win, pushed, I think, four or five players up front. And we got penned in there a bit. We caused our own problems by giving away too many free kicks, allowing the ball to come into the box. And I felt it was a set play. That might be the only way they get the goal. And we defended really well, back four, goalkeeper, and the rest of the team defended exceptionally well today because we had to. But that's something we need to work on, that we don't want to get ourselves probably into those positions, because I felt at one stage we could really go and win it. And that's probably the only thing that kind of knocks us a bit.
You've spoken in the past about the importance of staying in a game when you come under a bit of pressure, and I thought it was important to go in at 0-0 at half time.
Yeah, well, this is something that I've said for a long time. It's look how expansive they are, look how they open, look how open they are, look at the amount of goals they've scored, look at why they are where they are. You know, you come here, you can't open up the pitch, you know, you leave yourself 3-4 goals down. And I thought at 0-0 it was important because it was a bit of a stalemate first half. They probably, you know, took the game to us, as they have to do. They're the home team going for the playoffs. And we just felt we got one or two positions probably slightly deep. And we fixed that at half time. Asked George to play a little bit higher in the shape that we wanted to play, and asked Liam to play a little bit more aggressive as well, higher, just to give them a problem going the other way. And I felt, obviously, when the goal went in, we could have easily caved, but once again we've shown the kind of spirit that's needed as a group away from home to get right back into the game. And George scored the goal from a higher position. So, and then I thought we took control of the game. Then I thought we really took control of the game. The crowd started to get a bit edgy. We felt confident. Made an attacking substitution to get further on the front foot. We had one or two good positions that we got ourselves into without probably causing too many problems. But the fact was we were causing them problems, and in the end we just probably started to drop a bit deep towards the end, something that we've done before. And look, it can be natural, but the key thing was we didn't concede.
But that's another stage of development, isn't it, to get to that point from where you are now?
Yeah, for sure. You know, we've had these amount of games, and we've you know, look, don't get me wrong, it's a game. We felt at one stage we wanted to come here and win. It's not just coming about getting points away from home and so on. It's about winning, and we want to try and do that. But however, sometimes when you can't win, don't get beat. And that was important today, and it gives us another point in the run that we're kind of on, if you like. And with games coming up, hopefully we can turn draws, if you like, into wins.
Three really good saves from David Ford in the match as well.
Yeah, for sure, you know, and we needed that at some stage. I mean, the one in the first half was excellent. Yeah. It was a very important save. You know, I think he's been a catalyst for a lot that's happened this season, and you know, he's kept a lot of clean sheets with the help of the back four. And when we need him, he's there. You know, and yeah, look, at when he's there and needs to make the save, he does it, and that's very important because everyone's working extremely hard as a group. And he made two, I think, against Wickham also, and he's made three today, which are good. And you know, look, at that's not the story of the game. I felt overall it's a good point and a difficult point.
Yeah, it's one of the, you had a really tough run of games, but at the end of that tough run, how do you feel the team's developed?
I think the biggest thing I can say is, from the aggressive attacking dimension that we had in the first few games, you're not going to get away with that all the time. And I think what we've seen is, even today, another team changed their shape. We've seen Wickham change their shape. We've seen Swindon change their shape. We've seen Notts County change their shape. And this is what we're seeing. So I think that's a real compliment to us. And I think it's something that I want to reassure fans that we're developing and we're working hard. I really do believe there's great signs here that this club can really develop. And I want to reassure fans that the players work extremely hard. We've got options and different ways to play, and there's a lot of good things to come. I'm confident there's a lot of good things to come from this team, and with the continued support, again, the great support that travelled here today, together we can work as one to build, you know. And we're not always going to be able to play that fast flowing football, and when we're not, got to find another way. And then if that doesn't find a way, We dig in, we show some resilience, we bite down on it, and we say, right, we're going to come away from something.
So it's interesting. I mean, we were just commenting as the interview was playing that it. I suppose it's a compliment that teams change the way they play against us. But ultimately, when then we don't adapt to play against their new way of playing, and there was a lot of criticism last week, obviously around playing the diamond long after you know it looked like, well, it didn't look like, long after it became blindingly obvious it wasn't working, you know. The difficulty is it's not good enough just to force them to change the way they play, because if then that means our way of playing needs changing as well, but we don't do it, then we don't get any result out of it. But I mean, his comment about, you know, the effort that certainly we have seen. Didn't I see, by the way, Billy Waters came on in like, you know, the 91st minute yesterday? Yeah. Which seemed a bit of an oddity, especially because I was thinking, if you're looking for someone to clear the ball up the pitch, then Billy Waters is quite good. He may, you know, because he can run it out, especially if he's got fresh legs, and it might have been worthwhile putting him on just a little bit earlier. Very rarely does that. I mean, you're a hero if, of course, you put someone on in 90 minutes and they score a goal. But other than that, you kind of just wonder what the point of that was, I suppose. Unless I didn't see what state. I didn't even see who came off for him. But
he came on for Uche.
Oh, right, okay. So, that's interesting. Uche managed all that time, but so it's Crawley on Friday, and that's a 3 o'clock kickoff, and then it's Morecambe away again on the Monday, again a 3 o'clock kickoff. Good luck to all of those travelling up there. So I'm sure some of the same 185 people will make it up there to turn it into a 1,000-mile week. But we'll come back. We'll be talking about that next week. Good luck to the Ewes, and hopefully we talked about 6 points. It'd be nice if we could come back. Well, actually, it would be before the show, because we won't have had the Morecambe game by then, but at least with 3 points by the next show. And we'll take a quick break and we'll come back and we'll talk about Histon.
Across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
On FM, digital and your mobile.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
From the terraces on Cambridge 105 Radio, with the Cambridgeshire Football Association, promoting football at all levels across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
When we come back, we'll be talking all things history.
Out in the country, far from all the subtle noise of the city.
It's interesting. I saw the God Manchester game. Sorry, I keep calling it God Manchester, but God Manchester, which was a great result, not necessarily the most enthralling of games, but a great result. But since then, it's gone a little bit wrong. It was a nil or draw against Kirkley and Pakefield, which I guess you'd have expected to get a result there. And then 1-0 loss this Saturday to Thetford Town. And given where you were, I think you know fourth, third, hanging around fourth and third place, you need to be winning games like that if you want to be moving up the league and trying to secure that playoff spot.
Yeah, it was certainly a bit of a dent yesterday in our third place hopes. Saw a fair few games to go, but it was certainly one we could have done with winning, especially as you mentioned, God Manchester. They actually they played Stowmarket yesterday and managed to beat them 1-0. So again, another game where we could have capitalised on that and moved into third. But it was a shame, really. We never. Especially in the first half, we never really got going. It just seemed an element of flatness to our game, and it, very much like the Long Melford game a few weeks ago. I feel personally that we just relied far too much on kind of route one football and trying to get the ball up top to Ed Rolfe, Matty Hayden, and Dan Brown as quick as possible. And I felt that probably wasn't the right approach, because Thetford were fairly physical, and they set up to. They knew what was coming. Sort of, I think they sussed us out really after the first kind of 5 or 10 minutes, where we had a bit of a spell, and they kind of dealt really with everything that we threw at them, and I think really that our Route 1 sort of play kind of congested our style a little bit, and we were squeezed into either side of the pitch. And from that, really, like I say, they were able to deal with it quite effectively. And because we probably didn't hold our shape as well as we could have done, they actually hit us on the break really effectively as we were sort of scrambling back to try and get into position. And yeah, ultimately that kind of was the telling factor for us, because they hit us on the break for their goal. A slight debate about whether it was whether it went out on the far side, but you know, needless to say, we didn't deal with it well. They managed to get to the byline and fired in from close range. And yeah, it was, like I say, it was disappointing. Second half, we kind of got into the game a little bit. We were chasing the ball down a little better, and there was a bit more urgency. But again, I just feel that we were slightly too reliant on the long ball, and there were times really where we just sloppily gave it away. And it certainly, we've been far from our best. I think we do the tough and the dirty things of football well, you know, tackling and closing down the physical things quite well, but our approach plays in the last few games, I don't think really has been as good as we can get it. And it's kind of shown within the results, because I was looking at the past few games, and I think in the past five games we've only scored three goals, whereas before that, you know, goals had seemed to be quite an easy thing to come by for us. So I certainly think there's a few tweaks that need to be made to kind of get us back on track. And yeah, like we said, it's a bit of a missed opportunity, and third is now going to be quite a difficult place to get. But you never know, it can spin on its heel, yeah, in the, you know, in one game. So
I guess the only piece of good news is that, I mean, Brantham won, but Godmanchester beat, who did they beat? They beat the
Stowmarket,
of course.
Which was the big game,
yeah,
really.
And so that's good. although, if you look at the league table now, so you're fourth on 72 points. Stowmarket are a point ahead, but they've got two games in hand, and Godmanchester are four behind.
Hot,
but
again,
they've got three games in hand over you. So it, yeah, as you say, it makes it look a little bit more difficult. Looking at the fixtures you've got coming up, where are we there? So you've got Clacton coming up, you've got Saffron Walden, you've got Ipswich, which are all down towards, I mean, Saffron Walden are 11th, Clacton are down in 19th, and Ipswich are 22nd. So you've got three of the lower clubs that you would, you know, you really need to pick up if you want to get there. You want to pick up 9 points. And then, of course, you've got the key game of the season, which is the Stowmarket game, evening game just after the Ipswich game. So, you know, and again, you really need, if you're going to get that third spot, those are four games that you've got to really pick up maximum points from, I would have thought.
Yeah, I think without a doubt, if you're going to try and get that third spot, we need to be picking up maximum points, you know, at least until the Stowmarket game. And then, of course, we ideally need to beat them as well. To be honest, I'll personally be happy with seven, because I think Saffron Walden are kind of an odd one, really. Like, they're down 11th, but on their day, they're quite a tough team to beat, and they've got quite a good setup. So I'll take seven. But yeah, realistically, if we're going to go for that third spot, then we need to get maximum points. And like I say, there probably needs to be a few tweaks to what we're doing at the moment, because we've stuttered of late. And like I say, three goals in the past five games is not going to do it. It's not fantastic form.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting, because I hadn't realised that this is the Saturday was the first time you played Thetford season, because you've got another game from the second to last game of the season is back against Thetford. That must be, presumably that was cancellations earlier on in the season.
Yeah,
you've not played them.
Postponement.
Interesting to get that far in the season without playing them. But yeah, I mean, It's still there to play for. I mean, I don't think it's not panic mode yet.
No.
But as you say, I think those next four games are going to be, it's kind of going to be easier to tell once those are out the way, because they are games that you do need to win and get the result against Stowmarket to set yourself up with a fighting chance of getting up there, unless fourth place is also available as a playoff spot, which obviously nobody knows as yet. But we'll see what happens there. So let's
let's just see if we can chat with Lance. He did say he was not at home, that he may not have a decent signal, but hopefully we can get hold of him and chat. But bear with us a second, and we'll see if that's going to work or not. I think he's out in Norfolk, which is anybody's guess as to whether he's going to be in mobile range. But we'll know if we don't get his voicemail. But it's ringing at least. Hey, Lance. Oh, no, that was... it stopped ringing for a second then. Hey, Lance, how you doing?
I'm very well, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad, not too bad. We were just talking, I mean, obviously, a couple of weeks back, we saw the God Manchester game, a great result, not necessarily the finest game of football, but a spirited performance and just what you were looking for. And I guess, I mean, we were just saying, obviously, it's not panic time, but a couple of what you would presumably regard as poorer results, a draw against Kirkland Pakefield, and then obviously Thetford yesterday, kind of make it just that little bit harder for you to get up to that third, fourth spot and stay there.
Yeah, definitely that. I mean, obviously, I think with Groddy beating Stowmarket yesterday as well, kind of brings Stowmarket back into it for us in a way. Obviously, Groddy now are only, I think, 4 points behind with three games in hand, perhaps, and that obviously makes them strong favourites, and they have to play Groddy again Stowmarket again in 2 weeks' time, so that makes it difficult for us. But I've also said the Kirkley game away was probably the harshest conditions I've ever been involved in football. It was gale force winds. It was -1 on the day. With the wind, it was about -8. We didn't play great. And then obviously yesterday, Thetford, I watched them 2 weeks previously at Newmarket, and they looked a very competent side. And you can see why they've beaten some of the top sides this year. And yesterday, they made it very difficult for us. They scored a sloppy goal on our part, and then they defended resolutely throughout the game. And first half we weren't great, second half we were far much better, but we crumbled all in the box.
Oh, are you still there, Lance? We lost you. Can you still?
Yep.
Just disappeared for a second there.
Sorry.
So, I mean, I guess if you look at the fixtures, we were just talking about the fixtures you've got coming up, and whilst there are no easy games, and certainly Mark was just saying that Saffron Walden are mid-table and they put together some good games, but you've got Clacton and Ipswich Wanderers in there, all prior to the Stowmarket game. It's kind of getting to the stage where, you know, you're going to need to pick up, you know, pretty close to maximum points across those to give yourself that chance towards the end of the season to get in what will hopefully be a playoff spot.
Definitely so. We said it after the game yesterday that obviously there's going to be ups and downs in the running as it is, and we have 10 games left, and we had a run not so long ago with 9 wins and 1 draw in 10 games. So we think we have to do the same again now to probably finish third, if I'm honest. And we need 1 or 2 results possibly to go our way as well. But we won't give up. We won't keep fighting, obviously, because we're hungry for success, and we're hungry to try and go straight back up. But yes, those points, especially this weekend coming on the bank holiday weekend, that Clacton away on the Saturday and then Saffron Walden on the Monday. If we can get 6 points out of those 3 games, then all of a sudden it gives the squad a boost and we can move forward again, hopefully.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll talk to you next week after the Clacton game, and good luck in those. And we'll hopefully things will start to turn around for you. We'll talk to you later, Matt Lance.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you.
Bye. So there we go. I think it's great. Say enough. I mean, like, over the last few seasons, we'd have been talking to Lance about struggling and picking up points, but it's always been at the other end of the table in recent memory. So to actually be in a stage where, you know, third fourth spot is a genuine possibility with a good run at the end of the season is a huge boost for the club. It would be, I guess, you know, having got so close and having had some real good runs of football within there, as you say, if you're hoping you can find that good run of football now, but if it doesn't work out, it'll be a sad time to sort of get so close but not make it.
Yeah, obviously it will be slightly disappointing if the season doesn't sort of culminate in any kind of promotion. It's such a tough league, really. I mean, you look at the points total we've got now and sort of the amount of games we've played in most of the professional leagues. You know, you'll be sitting well within the playoffs, but, you know, it just so happens, unfortunately, the way that it works out here, that You've really got to be at the top if you're going to do anything. So in that kind of aspect, it's a bit of a shame because you kind of think all the successes that we have and the good runs that we put together kind of, you know, doesn't really get justly rewarded. But like you say, I think if at the beginning of the season we were offered third or fourth or in around that kind of spot, I think most Histon fans would have snapped your arm off because we haven't really seen the heights of those sort of places in a while. And it bodes well so long as we keep the main sort of squad together. And I think that's what's helped us out this time round. Although I know sort of changes have been made and additions have been made as well. But you know, squads are ultimately always going to be transforming over the time. But I think the fact that we were able to keep so many players on from last season onto this season has kind of helped to stabilise, and it's been a luxury that we've not really had in past seasons. So I think the same can be said for next season, regardless of whether we're still going to be at step five or we manage to sneak a promotion. I think keeping most of the players that we have now together is going to be key to really building momentum and having successful seasons to come. So you know, hopefully that can happen whatever happens this season. But you know, we've certainly been spoilt so far, and yeah, hopefully we finish this year strongly, and we'll kick on next season.
Excellent. Well, we'll take a break and we'll come back and we'll get Steve on the phone and we'll talk about City.
City and South Cambridgeshire.
On FM, digital and your mobile.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
From the terraces on Cambridge 105 Radio, with the Cambridgeshire Football Association. Promoting football at all levels across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
I'm not sure. Oh, yes, we have got Steve. Sorry, it went very quiet then, so I wasn't quite sure whether you were on the other end of the phone or not. Three in a row now. It's looking like a good run into the end of the season and a heavily strengthened squad. And Robbie's been talking about the strength of the squad prior to this, but a number of additions during the week as well.
Yeah, it's been a good week. And as you say, results, he made the point, and rightly so, now that this is now results time. You know, we can talk about performances and all the rest of it, but it's absolute business end. You know, we've got 10 games to go, and absolutely. Three wins, league wins in a row is excellent going into that, absolutely. You know, it's just put us on the fringes of the playoffs again, and I really hope and expect us to capitalise on the games in hand tomorrow and get into that, which would be great. And then psychologically, it's almost a bit of a mental battle as you say, getting results. But yeah, the squad, he hasn't added to it, and I think he's added in areas that, you know, he feels for competition reasons, and he's openly said, I think after the game, I suppose you'll chat to him, was that, you know, these players are not here to just make up numbers, they're here to compete and be in the first team. And I think that's wise, because it keeps everybody on their toes. And what was pleasing yesterday was, you know, defensively hasn't been our strongest point this season. You know, going forward, we've been absolutely brilliant in virtually every game, but defensively, you know, we struggled to keep clean sheets, and of course yesterday we kept one, and I thought we defended very well, and that might be a coincidence in so much as the back four now have a little bit of pressure on them because of the new signings, although they weren't available yesterday. You know, what it's saying is that, you know, to the players mentally, is you've got to perform at your best, because if you don't, there'll be others that can come in. So I think it's a good thing. I think he's got, you know, good contacts and got some additional players that, you know, hopefully will be add value. And of course, you know, let's say the current running we've got, you know, we're playing every midweek now, so undoubtedly they're going to be, I think every player is going to play their part in that run. So very pleasing week, good result. I'd say Aylesbury were the form team, you know, going to this, they were top of the form league, so despite them being mid-table, it was never going to be easy, and we found a sort of different way to win. I thought, you know, it was deserved, and that's the bodes well in my view, because we can play not at our very best but still win games. That's going to be what we need to do probably for the rest of the season. So, you know, every game is going to be scrappy now. You know, the pitch still isn't brilliant, but at least we got the game on, and you know, it's going to be like that, I say, through to the end of the season. I think it's going to be a case of grinding out results, which we did, but I think we deserved it, you know, anyway. But it was pleasing to get a clean sheet, and it was pleasing to get the points that now, you know, propel us very close to that playoff mix. And as I say, with a win tomorrow, we go into it still with games in hand. we start putting pressure on the teams above us as well. So, absolutely good week, good result, and long may it continue. And I think he's just got to find a balance of the side that can work. And as I say, I think every squad player will be used in some form now. So, you know, it's just encouraging everyone to play at their maximum each game and get the results for us.
And we've seen Sam Squire. We've seen a little bit of in at the Abbey in the development games, and I'm not so sure about Stephen Shaw. But obviously, both of them you saw them in the 3-1 loss in the Invitational Cup earlier on. So as you say, good to have some strength, some extra strength in the squad. If you know, if nothing, just to cover the large run of games that you've got over the remainder of the season.
Absolutely, yeah. I think he's obviously seen. He's looked at them and you know, Robert's come out and said, you know, they impressed him and they're available. And, you know, it was deadline day in non-league terms on Thursday, I think it was. So he's made the decision to go in and get a couple more. And I think, you know, it's good for their development to play. If they get games at our level, I think it's a different sort of league. You know, the United development team did very well Monday. You know, they were quick, sharp, and, you know, everyone assumed that they'd just be reserves that weren't very good. That wasn't the case. They were a good side. So you can see anyone that we bring in from that team is going to add a bit of value. They're not going to be just kids, you know, on the park. They actually have a bit of skill. They, you know, they're obviously in the academy for United for a reason. So, you know, yes, they're young. And I think what it will benefit both is if they can step in straight away and use, you know, the kind of their fitness and obviously the full-time training that they have to our advantage. That will be good. But obviously, at this time of the year, it's also about experience as well. And we have got a young squad, and I'm hoping that, you know, these are the sort of games. That's why I'm pleased with the win, because, you know, it's almost experience that comes into game management and, you know, not panicking under pressure. And that's where you need a sort of Patterson and people like that who can be captain and run, you know, cajole the team on the pitch and just, you know, kind of galvanise some of the younger players who perhaps, you know, haven't been through this before, you know, because it is still a young squad. But, you know, in the likes of our front players and Hall and stuff who've been there and done it as well at this level, then I think there is experience that means that, you know, when he gets a chance like he did, he took it and he's proved the match winner. And that's exactly what we need. You need, you know, the players to come to the fore now. And it is mental strength, because each game is very, very important. So, you know, on paper, we've got a reasonable run in the next few games. And then it gets really tough with some of the fixtures. So I know we're going to take it one at a time. We played Marlow away. They are very sort of physical. They don't give up, you know, they don't sort of give up. We drew 3-3 down there, and they had spells where, you know, they completely turned the game around and got three quick goals. I think, you know, that's something to be aware of, but I know Robbie will prepare for that. And so if we defend like we did, I think we've got enough firepower to be better than we were yesterday and create more and score goals. So, you know, it's exciting. It's definitely where we want to be at the business end of the season, going into, you know, to April on the fringe of the playoffs and hopefully going in it. And I think if we can pick up 3 points tomorrow and then on Saturday, Northwood again, fairly tricky opposition. They've just changed manager, I think. So again, a bit of an unknown. But if we get 6 points from those two, you know, that will really put the cat amongst the pigeons, because teams are playing each other above us again. So some teams will drop points. I mean, Rushton have looked like running away. They've lost two in a row and have been sort of dragged into it as well, believe it or not. So it's all up for grabs, really, in my view. I don't think we should rule out anything. I think we've just got to take it game at a time. I know Robbie's set the targets playoffs, which I think is right. And he's got to be telling them to, you know, get the win on Monday that gets us into that playoff spot. And then we've got to be all about staying there and pushing on. So one at a time. Tomorrow will be tricky, but I hope we can turn it on and, you know, get a result. And then, as I say, another one Saturday. But they're coming thick and fast, so it's quite exciting. And we're hitting form, 3 league wins. We're hitting some form, which is perfect going into this period.
Yeah, and as you say, I mean, the difficulty is that with the, you know, the difference of games, I think you've played, oh no, there's Hamwell have played one less than you. They're on 31 games, and then you've got clubs who've played 36 games, 35 games. I mean, it is difficult to see how it'll all shake out with the game terms, but if you look at where you are at the moment, obviously above you, Chalfont have played 3 more games, Dunstable 2, Hartley Whitney 2, Beaconsfield have got 1 more than you. So, you know, winning those games in hand will suddenly shoot you up the table. Yeah. And as you say, you know, 6 points will go a long way to doing that in what's going to be a busy end of the season.
I think that's absolutely right. I think all we can do is look after ourselves. I keep saying to people, I think the other results will take care of. If we win majority of our games this season, we will definitely make playoffs. And if we do win majority, we may even do better. you know, you're absolutely right. I think the funny thing is our games are one of them. Then it's Easter, so everyone plays on Easter Monday, so it's not a game in hand that Monday, because obviously it's a bank holiday fixture for everyone. So the other games in hand are all in sort of April, each midweek, including the final week of the season. So I think our final game in hand is the week between the final Saturday and the Saturday before. So we're going to be going into that final week having played 40 games, and then we've got one midweek is 41, and that'll be our final game in hand. So we're going to go into it still with games in hand. The aim, of course, is to end that run as close to, well, in the playoffs if possible, but in a position where that final game in hand can either cement playoffs or even better, because we won't catch up until right at the end with all the way that the fixtures have come with work now. So the one of them is tomorrow, so it's important we do win that, because, say, you know, that's effectively a game in hand. And as you say, once we start getting closer to teams, it will become more apparent as to, you know, where we're going to be with all the permutations of games played. So, you know, as I say, I think you have to take it one at a time, because if you look that far ahead, you know, you just don't know. But I think there's so many twists and turns for all teams. I've just seen Preston starting to slip, and, you know, never have expected that from them. You know, but there's a lot of twists and turns, and I think if we just quietly go about our business, it's always quite good that we're under the radar a little bit, actually, because teams have looked at us and gone, oh, well, they're sixth or seventh or whatever we are, and just seen we're outside the playoffs. And if you don't look at the table properly, in theory, we've got games in hand. If we sneak up on those teams with good form, then that could be quite nice. And, of course, we've still got to play a lot of the teams around us. We've still got Dunstable away. We've got Hartley. We've got Rushton as well. So we've got those teams to play. And, of course, they're big ones. So lots to look forward to. Pleasing win yesterday. I'd say the character and the way that we defended was good. And I think we limited them to long shots against, let's say, an informed team. So if we can take that moving forward, then I think it's going to be an exciting end. And, you know, I'd urge people to come down tomorrow. A few groundhoppers to come on a Monday because there's not much football on. So definitely get involved and hopefully you'll see a decent game. I mean, it's reasonable games. Now we're playing some good stuff. So it should be exciting. And if we do win, that will get us in the playoffs. Hopefully we'll be talking next week about having jumped up at least a position and then kicking on again. So, you know,
I'm going to have to cut you off there, Steve, because we're literally just running out of time, but we'll talk to you again next week. Thanks very much indeed for your help. Okay, so we'll talk to you all next week.
Cambridge 105 Radio.